The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This institution that we have, you know, this institution of majlis, where we gather together, where we sit in these type of gatherings and we have a discussion, is something that, as we will quote a little bit later today, is part and parcel of the fabric of our faith. It is something that is recommended for us to do. It is something that is encouraged for us to do. And there's a lot of benefit that comes from it. When the azah of Aba Abdullah alayhi salam starts and the month of Muharram starts, we end up gathering for these type of majalis far more frequently. And not only do we attend them here, we attend them in different imam bargas, we attend them in different homes. And there's a lot of benefit that comes from that, you know, especially when you look at how the construction of these majalis are held. There is one part which is generally the longer part, and as it should be, where we spend time learning. We learn about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us. We learn about how we can take the steps necessary to meet the criteria that God wants us to meet. And at the same time, if we are reflective, we can find out our own shortcomings in the process so that we can rectify them, fix them, so that we can reach that ultimate goal of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there's an important responsibility that we attend these gatherings with the intention of learning. It doesn't have to be a memorization of the whole 40-minute majlis, but if I can take one or two points from it to try and reflect upon and learn from, then the hadaf, the goal of these majalis, is met, at least half of it. And so that's one part of why we gather. The second part of our lectures are where we now lament and we cry and we remember the tragedy of Aba Abdullah. And this too is extremely important. Yeah, I believe, especially in the 12 days, you know, I focus in many ways as much on the first part of the lecture as I do on the second part, because I believe the second part has a tremendous impact in awakening the hearts, the ability to feel sad, the ability to try and shed a tear. These are not small things, you know, and so there's obviously a burden that we as speakers carry, not with the intention of to try to make you cry, but to present the tragedy of Karbala in its most authentic form, without going above and beyond what is there in our books, without exaggerating to try to make you cry. But at the same time, there is a responsibility on that side as well, where, you know, sometimes I hear that, oh, the Mawlana didn't make me cry. But you know, the sign of a believer is that when the name of Hussein is mentioned, their heart would automatically humble. Yeah, and so there is this give and take that has to exist in our mosques, right? And in our settings, where we both share a part to carry out and hold this azah, this grief of Imam alayhi salam. These two parts, you know, when they are done together and they are done effectively, and again, the effectiveness is not just from the minbar, but also from the people who gather, these two set the foundation of reformation. Yeah? These two set the foundation of improving our lives, because the tears soften the heart. And when the heart is softened, it's like soil that is wet. It can absorb, yeah, whatever that has come before it, and inshallah whatever that may come after it as well. And so you find that this institution of that we have is something that is important, and it will continue, and it will always continue. And we have this notion or this belief that even when the imam comes, it will continue, because this is a fundamental part of our faith. The tragedy of Karbala is one that is described to us, you know, as one of the greatest tragedies, or if not the greatest tragedy that has affected Islam. We recite in Ziyarat-e-Ashura, where we say, Musibatan ma a'azamaha wa a'azama raziyataha fil Islam wa fi jami'i samawati wal ard. That this musibah is a'azam, it is the greatest musibah, the greatest tragedy that has befallen, and this raziya, this sorrow, is the greatest sorrow that Islam has ever encountered. Yeah, and not just that, it continues in this ziyarat that it's the greatest sorrow that the heavens and the world, the earth, the universe has ever encountered. We recite this ziyarat knowing it is coming from a ma'soom, and therefore it's not hyperbole, it's not exaggeration. But a question comes into our minds, you know, and I know I have received this question many times, and to be quite honest, I've asked myself this question too, is that on one hand, I understand that this is the greatest tragedy there is, right? But on the other hand, if we look at it from sheer atrocity, from sheer numbers, there have been far worse tragedies from that perspective, yeah? In common day, we look at what happened in Rohingya. Yeah, we see what happens in Afghanistan. We see what happens in Yemen, right? We see what happens in Palestine. Man, these are atrocity after atrocity that have taken place. And so the question that I do get, and I think it's a legitimate question, is that how do we then reconcile that? How do we then say that these are tragedies where if we look at sheer number, sheer sadness, man, it is far greater. Right? But yet we stick to this idea and we commemorate it in this way where we gather for 2 months and 8 days to commemorate this tragedy. Why is there such focus on this tragedy? And I think that's a legitimate question. And it's a question that we should have thought about and we should try to understand the answer to this particular question. I'm going to answer this question based on two paths, and both are necessary for us to fully grasp why this tragedy is, as the du'a or the ziyarat says, a'azama, that is the musibah that is a'azam. Yeah, it is the greatest musibah that there is. The first way, or I don't think there's two ways to understand it. We have to have both of these understandings together. The first is that when we look at other tragedies that we see around the world today, the victims of these tragedies are truly victims. Yeah, and what we mean by that is that there was nowhere for them to go and escape what was happening. And you look at what happened in Rohingya when the armies attacked. You look at what happens in Palestine when they raid. You look at what happens in Yemen when bombs are dropped. There was nowhere for them to go. Yeah, they had to endure what came to them, and they had to endure them in the greatest of patience, and Allah will reward them for that endurance. But you find that there was nowhere for them to run away, nowhere for them to move, and they were simply overrun by an oppressive force, right? And so in these examples that we say numbers-wise, tragedy-wise are greater, they were truly victims of oppression in these examples. Aba Abdullah alayhi salam was not a victim. Yeah, Imam was not a victim in that way where he had nowhere to go. Yeah, the Imam alayhi salam chose to stand up against Yazid. Yeah, the Imam alayhi salam recognized a brutal dictator, a dictator who had no value for Islam, who had no value for the religion, had no value for God, no value for the tenets of God. And this is something that no Muslim will ever argue against the legacy of Yazid. The legacy of Yazid is firmly established within the entire global Muslim ummah, that he was one of the worst dictators ever to exist. Yeah, because of all the atrocities that Yazid did. And again, we just have to look at the 3.5 year reign of Yazid and what he did. He did Karbala year one. Year two, he attacked Medina. And we look at the history of how he pillaged the city of the Prophet. And then third year, he attacked Mecca, where he actually shot cannonballs or these, what is that? The thing where they shoot, yeah, catapults at the Kaaba. Yeah, this is Yazid. This is the leader of so-called Muslims. And again, no Muslim, yeah, will ever say that he was a legitimate or a rightful or a good, noble person. And so the Imam alayhi salam rose against such a person. Yeah, he rose and recognized the need for the sake of justice and truth to stand up to such an individual, where you see that because of the state of oppression and the need to rise up against oppressors, the Imam alayhi salam rose up.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه